I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, a week after Texas Democrats broke quorum and left the state over a mid-decade redistricting controversy that would give Republicans 5 additional seats in Congress, there is no sign of a break in the stalemate. Governor Greg Abbott is threatening to strip Democrats of their elected offices. Also, the FBI is being called out. Former Congressman Beto O'Rourke is being targeted for assisting the breakaway Democrats. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has launched an investigation and filed a lawsuit against O'Rourke and his organization, Powered by People. Paxton alleges the group may have violated laws against bribery. Beto O'Rourke joins us to react to the lawsuit, the quorum break, and where this all could be headed as other states move forward with their own redistricting. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source. But first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Independent journalism needs protection, now more than ever. Leaving a gift to TPR in your will helps ensure thoughtful, fact-based news has a future in Texas. Learn more at tpr.org/legacy.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas House of Representatives remains frozen, not enough members there to have a quorum to hold votes. That means the mid-decade redistricting map cannot be passed. That map was drawn in a way to give Republicans 5 additional seats in Congress, which would be enough to give the GOP control of Congress after the midterm elections, and that is something that President Donald Trump would like very much. So Governor Greg Abbott is threatening to strip these Democrats of their elected offices. Also, the FBI has been called out by the lawmakers. Former Congressman Beto O'Rourke is being targeted for assisting the breakaway lawmakers. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has launched an investigation and filed a lawsuit against O'Rourke and his organization, Powered by People. Paxton alleges this group may have violated laws against bribery. Beto O'Rourke joins us now to discuss these developments. And Beto, welcome back to The Source.
David, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or comment for Beto O'Rourke about all this, the number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Beto, explain to me how you're supporting the breakaway Democrats and that's somehow bribery or against the law. I mean, I don't understand that. How does that work?
I don't think you understand it because it doesn't make sense. There's no rational or legal reason to stop me or anybody else for that matter in supporting those who are fighting Trump's attempt to steal 5 congressional seats. I think, in fact, what the Texas Democrats, the 54 legislators who left the state, those of us who have, you know, in financial and moral and in other terms supported these lawmakers, what we have done has kind of shocked the Republican establishment. They're used to people bending the knee, you know, the big Ivy League universities and their, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in settlements, the big law firms and their hundreds of millions of dollars in pro bono work directed to Trump's chosen causes, you know, Zuckerberg and Bezos and these masters of technology and algorithm. Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, literally giving Trump a gold-plated phone last week. They're all bending the knee, and I think they expected the same in Texas. But in this state, our knees don't bend, and we are going to stand and we are going to fight. And so now they seek to intimidate us. As you know, they are trying to vacate the seats of these 54 legislators, remove them from office. Abbott has threatened to charge them with second degree felonies. He's threatening them with arrest from the state troopers. The FBI has been called in. And Powered by People, which is the largest voter registration organization in the state of Texas, and has been able to get tens of thousands of Americans to donate to support this fight, is now being targeted by Paxton. 2 things he did last week, David. He, launched this investigation and tried to require us to respond to it within 48 hours, which would have been impossible. Luckily, we were able to get that stayed. And then in Tarrant County on Friday, like at 4:30 at the end of the day, he attempted to get a temporary restraining order against us to stop us from holding a rally in Fort Worth, to stop me from raising money for these for this cause, for those who are fighting back, and tried to stop me from exercising my First Amendment right to free speech. But we were able to get past all of that. We held the rally, we're raising the money, we're continuing to talk about this. So we cannot be intimidated by these guys. They are freaking out. They are in full panic mode. If they can't steal these five seats, they may lose their grip on power, the majority that they hold in the House of Representatives right now. And if that happens, the crimes, the corruption, the impunity with which they have been operating, all of that comes under account. There will be a check on their lawlessness, and we start to get our country back. So this one is for all the marbles in Texas, and I could not be more proud of my fellow Texas Democrats for the way they are fighting these guys.
I'm getting fundraising emails. I got one this morning from the Republican Party of Texas claiming they need money to fight the runaway Democrats. How come that's not bribery or illegal, but what you've been doing is different, is somehow violent? I think about the Kin commandments. You know, what Kin Paxton says and what he does are two different things. So, but how are they able to raise money and do all those things, but you're not supposed to?
Yeah, I mean, and just to further the point, I mean, how is taking the remodeling of your kitchen at your home from Nate Paul when you're an attorney general and doing him favors and being impeached on those counts by a majority of the Texas legislature, including Republican members, how is that not bribery? How is taking $6 million from Jeff Yass, as Governor Greg Abbott did, and then using that money to advance Yass's agenda of privatizing public education? How is that not bribery? Kelsey Warren, who gives Abbott $1 million after the 2001 Texas freeze, where Warren's company made billions of dollars in illegal profits as they jacked the price of natural gas to our electricity providers. How is that stuff not bribery? I mean, there's real bribery going on. How is reducing Ghislaine Maxwell's sentence? She is a convicted child sex trafficker. Taking her from a more maximum security prison to Camp Fed just outside of Bryan, Texas, in order for her to play ball with Trump in whatever complicity he shared with Jeffrey Epstein. How is that not bribery? So there is real bribery taking place in this country, but raising donations to support those who are fighting against a steal of five congressional seats, that is not bribery. And I'm convinced that on the law, and in the court of public opinion, we are going to win this. And in the meantime, we're going to keep fighting. They will not cow us. We will not bend the knee. We will not be intimidated. We're not going to give in, and we're not going to give up. We are going to fight.
If the Democrats win enough seats in Congress after the midterms, would they be able to release the Epstein files?
Yes. And you saw this. Mike Johnson tried to dismiss the House of Representatives early because they couldn't get past this Epstein crisis for the president. Nonetheless, Democrats led, even though they're in the minority, they led in the Oversight Committee an attempt to subpoena that was joined by enough Republicans to form a majority. And so they're already leading on this issue in the minority. In the majority, we're going to make sure that we get the full transparent facts about Donald Trump's complicity with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, we know
everyone's. All the names need to be released. I don't care what party they're with. We need to know these things, and maybe that's why these desperate actions are being taken. You know, redistricting, get extra seats in order to keep enough Democrats from being elected to release those files.
I think so. I think what's been chilling for me, and I think many Americans watching this administration, is the brazen impunity with which they're doing these things. You know, the corrupt quid pro quo with Mayor Eric Adams, who himself was charged with bribery, credible allegations, and they dropped the federal charges against him in exchange for Eric Adams allowing federal ICE agents essentially to run free in the streets of New York City. The $400 million gift from the Qataris, which is constitutionally illegal, the Trump meme coin, where anyone who wants to buy influence with the administration can give any amount of money and the American public will not know it. They're doing these things because they think they will never have to face accountability. And this attempt to steal these five seats is also an effort to avoid the reckoning that you will have if people are able to participate in free and fair elections. Before the 2024 presidential election, Donald Trump promised this will be the last election that you have to vote in. And he's trying to bring that promise to bear right now. All that stands between that and where we are today are these 54 Democrats who have broken quorum and are standing and fighting for all of us.
Okay, so Pedro, I got to take a break here.
Yeah.
Give the number 833-877-8255. I've got Daniel and Randall on the board. Anyone else call in? Call in. We got a lot more to talk about with Beto O'Rourke, about the quorum bust, about these lawsuits, what could happen next. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line is Beto O'Rourke, former congressman, and now he is an activist empowered by People is his organization. They're both being sued by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to prevent them from lending assistance to the Democratic lawmakers who have broken quorum. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. So, Beto, you have countersued Ken Paxton. What was your countersuit?
We sued him here in El Paso, where I'm from, where we are based, so that we could get him to stop the harassment and the attempt to intimidate us, our members, and our donors. You know, we hope that a judge will be selected soon here in El Paso. They'll hear the facts of this, and we will be able to continue unimpeded in the constitutionally protected work that we're doing right now. I mean, this is for those who think that the threats of authoritarianism are hyperbole. I just want people to look at the facts that the people in the positions of public trust who hold the greatest power in this state are using it to try to intimidate and to chill the free speech of their fellow Texans who are just trying to make sure that they can win a political contest. I mean, this is the bedrock of American democracy. We are clearly doing what is lawful and what we would argue is absolutely necessary to preserve this democracy and make sure that we have free and fair elections going forward. So we're not going to be on the back foot. We're going on offense. We took this fight right to him by filing this suit. You know, as I mentioned earlier, too many of the powerful, the wealthy, the elite in this country have bent the knee to Donald Trump and to Ken Paxton and Greg Abbott. In Texas, we're not about that. We are not going to bend the knee.
So you have been, your organization, Powered by People, have been supporting the lawmakers who are out of state. Has that stopped? Have you are no longer able to do that?
No. In fact, I just last week, in addition to being in Fort Worth and in Abilene, I was in Wisconsin, Indiana, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Louisiana, just making the case that we're all in this together and rallying people to the cause. And I'd ask them, hey, text FIGHT to 20377. And folks in the audience and folks watching the live stream would do that. And thus far, tens of thousands of people have contributed, and we're still raising because.
Well, are you spending? That temporary restraining order issued Friday in Tarrant County, is that, are you ignoring that, or does that have any kind of, has that changed your behavior at all?
We are following the letter and the spirit of that restraining order, which, you know, not to get into the technical legal details, but prevents us from spending to support specific line items for these legislators or making direct donations to these legislators that could then be used for a variety of different purposes. So in order to make sure that we stay on the right side of everything, I won't go into you know, more detail than that, but suffice it to say that we are raising and then we will be distributing those resources in the most effective way so that all of us who want to stop this power grab can continue this fight. And we'll be making a public announcement on that soon, as early as this week.
All right, let's go to Randall on the phones. Randall, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. David knows my political stance on most things, as I'm kind of a frequent caller to this show. But what is the ultimate end game of all of this? This has been tried twice in the past. And in both, in previous instances, everybody came back to town and business went on as usual. Do you, Mr. O'Rourke, as well as all the Democratic legislators that are hiding out, Do you really think the governor is going to blink, throw his hands up and say, okay, no more redistricting, you win, please come back so we can take care of the flood relief and the THC CBD product regulations that we originally set up this special session to tackle?
Okay.
You know, come back so we can take care of the people of Texas. Is this
okay?
What's the end game here?
Randall, thank you for that. Beto O'Rourke.
My hope is that these Texas Democrats stay away long enough to prevent the adoption of these gerrymandered maps and the theft of these five congressional seats. But Randall, I think that's but one track that we can pursue. A second is to ask Democratic governors to seize the initiative, not await what might happen in Texas, but to redraw congressional districts in California, in Maryland, and Illinois, in New York, and New Jersey, in other states where they have the power to do that, to maximize Democratic congressional representation. Because, you know, to just be clear, this is not any longer about representation or even the rule of law or the Constitution. This is a street brawl for power in America. Trump has made that abundantly clear. He just said, find me five seats in Texas. He didn't say these districts are unconstitutional or they're unrepresentative or we're denying people effective access to their government. He just said, I need for partisan advantage five seats in Texas. Okay, those are the rules of the game. We get it. Now we're going to play and fight just as hard or harder so that we win this. And then the third thing, Randall, is we need to be organizing on the ground in the case that these districts are redrawn so that we can win the newly drawn districts. And because Republican majority districts right now will have to cede Republican voters to help create these new districts, we might be able to win some of these that are currently represented by Republicans. And a quick note on the Hill Country flooding response. The Republican majority and Greg Abbott had the opportunity to move forward on that. They chose not to instead focus on this theft of five congressional seats. So I really think the choice was with the governor, and he showed us what his priorities were.
What about the point that Governor Abbott has emergency powers that he could use to deal with flood relief, but he hasn't done it?
That's right. Greg Abbott could move forward today. And in addition, Greg Abbott, Dan Patrick, and the Speaker of the Texas House could have moved forward on this stuff in this session. You know, there were warnings not for years, but for decades about the vulnerability of people in the Hill Country and the need for early warning systems. You had Donald Trump removing a National Weather Service person in the San Antonio, Austin office.
But the point is that there is flood relief. It's available. There's plenty of money
Absolutely.
In Texas. Abbott could just sign a document like right now. He could have done it 3 weeks ago and released all that money. You don't need to. The Democrats are not holding back on flood relief. Abbott is.
That's exactly right. They hold literally every lever of power, every statewide office. They have the purse strings in their hands. They can release those resources to where it is needed most, but they're choosing not to because the politics of this for the Republicans is more important. This attempt to steal these five seats is a real priority. We need to call that out, and that's exactly what is happening right now in
the
state of Texas.
I need to go to another caller. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Mr. O'Rourke, I want to thank you immensely for representing the millions of Texans that are too busy working three jobs or whatever to not get out and fight the fight that you're fighting for us. And I'm talking about Democrats, Republicans, independents, and non-voters. So a huge thank you for that. And number two, I do miss the era of dignity with John McCain and Lloyd Benson when things were different. There was mutual respect. I mean, here we are talking about democracy and freedom. Like it's a travesty. Donald Trump takes things to a low level. And years ago, when I thought he went low, he went even lower than that. Now with this whole pedophile thing, it's ridiculous. But we've got to stop the Gestapo tactics and thou shall not steal, thou shall not kill, thou shall not lie. You know, and they're putting these Ten Commandments up in the schools. They're the hypocrites, the party of hypocrites. Mm-hmm. And of course, not all Republicans, but it's just such a travesty what's going on. And I just basically want to say thank you, sir. Please keep it up. Please keep it up, because when you speak for millions.
Thank All right, you. Daniel, thank you for the call. Your reaction really quickly, Beto.
Daniel, thank you for that. And I agree with you. I missed the time where both parties and national leaders worked ethically and morally and respected one another. Unfortunately, for the time being, those days are past us. And right now on our side, we need bare knuckle brawlers who are willing to take the fight to these guys, who are not going to react and respond and resist, but are going to get off the back foot onto the front, off of defense, onto offense, and make sure that we don't just fight for effort and points, but we fight to win.
So a poll came out today conducted by Z2A Research revealing what they found, what Texas voters really think about the quorum break and what's happening with this redistricting map. Key findings are voters want lawmakers to prioritize flood relief, and we would strongly support passing that relief or having Abbott use his emergency powers. But like vouchers, these voters see redistricting as something that supports Republican goals, but not necessarily something that wide support across the state of Texas. They also say there is strong partisan support for an independent redistricting commission. This is only a minority of the poll takers support the quorum break. The majority say the biggest problem is this politician gerrymandering Texas. And also they say that the majority of voters would punish Republicans that support redistricting, but voters will not punish Democrats for the quorum break. Can I get your reaction to those poll results?
I think they bode well for Democrats in 2026. I think we need to make sure that voters connect the dots between what Republicans have prioritized, which is their own political advantage, allowing members of Congress to choose their voters instead of the other way around, versus what Texans desperately need: flood relief, early warning systems, you know, funding for local schools. I mean, the things that we are hearing as we travel the state right now. And Democrats, I think, need to show these voters that they will fight for those voters with all they've got, whether it is the quorum break, whether it is a way in which they campaign, or those Democrats who hold executive authority in the state of Texas. I'm thinking of the county judges in Travis, in Harris, in Dallas counties, in Bear, among others. We really have to show people, not tell people, that we're going to fight for them. And if we do, I know that we are going to have the wind at our backs in 26, as we did in 18 during Trump's first midterm, and we can win big seats. In 18, we won 12 state house districts. In 18, we won two congressional districts, including Colin Allred defeating Pete Sessions. He had no business doing that, but that's just what happens when you have great candidates, the wind at your back, and you show folks that you're fighting for them.
So do you think we're in a cold civil war right now?
I think that's a pretty apt metaphor. I think another way to look at this is, you know, it took Hitler 53 days to destroy German democracy. In the last 6 months of the Trump administration, he has defied the federal courts. He's dismantled congressionally chartered and mandated programs and agencies. He's colluded with corrupt public officials, and he's dispensing with constitutional protections like due process that have kept us a country of laws and not kings for 249 years. We know the end of this story if we don't change the trajectory. That's why I think what's going on right now in Texas is for all the marbles. The election of 26 is being decided in the summer of 25. And if we are found wanting at this moment of truth, I think after 26, the consolidation of authoritarian power will be nearly unstoppable. So this is the moment in which we need to fight. We cannot allow it to pass without giving it everything we've got. And that's why I think these 54 Democrats from Texas have become national heroes.
I think I've seen a quote from you saying that if the Congress remains in Republican hands after midterms, after this redistricting efforts all across the nation, then you think that Donald Trump will have another term in office.
I can almost guarantee that
he'll run for president again, even though it violates the Constitution.
Absolutely. One, he's told us that he's going to do that. Two, he's shown us what he will do when he is lawfully, legitimately, democratically unelected, as he was in 2020 when he lost the election. He tried to, through violence and force, stay on for a second term. Literally, you know, protesters and insurrectionists going into the Capitol threatened to hang his vice president, with Donald Trump encouraging them all the while, and then pardoning every single one of them, including those who beat Capitol police officers nearly to death. And we know that some of those police officers later took their own lives. So So let's pay attention and trust him when he tells us what he's going to do. That Republican Congress has been supine every single day that he's been president. There is no reason to think that they would not grant him that third term, given that they've granted him everything else that he's asked for, even when it runs counter to the interests of their congressional districts and the states that they represent in the U.S. Senate.
We got to let you go. Beto O'Rourke, thanks for you for talking to us this half hour. Beto O'Rourke, former congressman from El Paso, being sued by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton for raising funds for the Democratic lawmakers who are on the quorum bust. Thank you so much, Beto.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Texas Monthly to discuss how this is being played out in Texas, what are the stakes, and what could happen next. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're going to continue our conversation about this redistricting controversy and the quorum-busting Democrats who have left the state of Texas. We're now joined by Forrest Wilder. He is a senior writer at Texas Monthly, and he covers politics there and the environment. And Forrest, welcome to The Source.
Great to be here.
So any reaction to Beto's messaging?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is really kind of become the point of the spear in terms of the messaging for the Democrats. You know, really trying to, you could see he's trying to keep the troops together, keep them focused on the goal, trying to make a play for sticking with this quorum break for some period of time. I mean, you know, indefinitely would, I think, could be kind of challenging, but clearly I think he's making a pitch for sticking it out as long as possible, if not, you know, just to try to break the redistricting effort. Frankly, to me, seems like a long shot, but also secondarily, I mean, maybe as importantly, to try to get blue state governors to act first. I mean, he's been very clear about that. He doesn't want Newsom and the rest just to be reactive, to wait for the Texas maps to pass, but to go forward preemptively, draw up their own maps that would be beneficial to Democrats. And then I think also it's just, look, this everything that's happening now is laying the groundwork for 2026. And I don't just mean what the maps are going to look like, but also trying to fire up your voters to make a play, regardless of what the rules of the game are. The fight presumably is still going to happen, and so you got to be out there, you know, working the angles, you know, right now.
Right. So we had an earlier caller saying, you know, what's the end game? You're going to lose eventually. They got to come back. And I've seen a lot of reporting saying, oh, this is doomed to fail, but I think people don't factor in the fact that, you know, the fact that we've had this quorum bust has brought a lot of attention to this redistricting effort that's happening in Texas. It has fired up the base of the Democrats, and it has also caused a lot of moderates to question what is going on here. And I hear Governor Abbott and all these other people making comparisons to the Alamo, which is always, you know, suspect. But, you know, they lost at the Alamo. But because they lost at the Alamo, they're able to win at San Jacinto and win Texas independence. Just because you lose doesn't mean you lost, right?
That's right. I mean, I think it depends on how you look at it, right? If the sole goal here is for these House Democrats to stop the Texas Republicans from redistricting at Trump's behest, it's hard to see how that's going to happen. I mean, I think we should take Abbott at his word that he's going to call special session after special session after special session.
Why wouldn't he?
To get this done. Why wouldn't he, right? I mean, there's no, Trump asked for this, right? This isn't an initiative of the Texas Republicans, but as we all know how the Republican Party works in this era is that when Trump asks for something, or he asks for someone to jump, they ask how high. So they're going to bully this thing through. It seems, you know, highly likely. With that said, you know, I do think that you kind of have to widen the lens a little bit further. Like we were just talking about, this has become a national fight. That's essentially what this quorum break has done, is it's created a conditions where every governor who's in a state that matters, whether that's blue or red, you know, is kind of forced to weigh in and at least consider their options. And especially, let's say, for like your Newsoms or your Pritzkers on the Democratic side that have their eyes on running for president, Just pure political, you know, self-interest reasons. They have to show that they're taking this seriously, and presumably at some point we'll have to make a decision about what they're going to do.
Make one more point, and I'm going to make one more point, and I'll get to callers. The number is 833-877-8255. I think Democrats learned a lot from the previous quorum bust that they did. This quorum bust seems a lot more disciplined and focused. They didn't post a picture of themselves flying off with a case of corona like they did last time, you know. So this time they're showing we're serious. We're not here to mess around. This is not a vacation. We're here to fight. And you think that they've learned a lot over, because they've had practice at this stuff.
I think so. If I recall correctly, I think it was Miller Lite. It would have been a lot cooler if it was Corona, but or maybe an IPA, you know, craft beer or something. But yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we have to be clear though, to achieve quorum in the House, there have to be 100 members present. And at last roll call, last time I checked last week, it was 96, because he had 8 Democrats who kind of hung back. So, you know, at 54 left and seem pretty committed. I would say there's more message discipline. And as you were suggesting, like a better optics. I mean, you also recall in 2021, one member went off to Europe to, I think, attend a wedding. So there was things that were happening that kind of undermined the message of how serious things were. You know, in 2021, it was about voting rights. So you can't really have people sort of, you know, doing things like that, because this is about perception to some extent. This is about how it plays in media, on social media. So yeah, so far I would say they are more disciplined. They're on more message. They're just a little bit more, I think, serious about it. But look, you know, they're going to have to maintain, if they just to beat this first special session, which seems to be a goal that they've set, or at least some of them have set, you know, they have to remain disciplined and they can't have slippage. These quorum breaks end, they have ended the previous two times when somebody goes, you know what, screw this, I'm going home. And so they have to, they lose four more people, then that's kind of the end game. So we'll see how long they can maintain this discipline. But I think you're right that it's better so far.
Let's go to Rick on the phones. And Rick, you're on the air. Thank you for holding on. Rick, go ahead. Okay, his call just dropped, but let's go to Rebecca. And Rebecca, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Basically, just wonder how we've gotten to this point overall. And I know we're talking about Texas, but whatever affects the federal government affects Texas and the other 49 states. And also, do you think the United States is on the same trajectory as the fall of the Roman Empire? Thanks.
Rebecca, thank you so much. So go ahead, Forrest.
Well, you know, as the joke on the internet, as a man, I'm always thinking about the Roman Empire.
I had that same thought.
look, this is, if we could just leave partisanship aside, which is, you know, almost impossible to do in this case, because this is all about this is all about power, this is all about partisanship. There's no way. And redistricting always has been, it's just the stakes are much higher. But if somehow we can leave that aside for just a moment and not be on Team Blue or Team Red, the trajectory of this thing is terrible. Like, I can completely understand the tit for tat logic. You know, Trump in a sense started this thing. It makes sense politically for Newsom and Pritzker and Hochul and all these other blue state governors to do their own deeper gerrymandering. Many of these states are already pretty gerrymandered. Illinois, for example, has 17 congressional districts, 14 of them are Democratic. Presumably they could act and redraw maps where there's not a single Republican seat, or like a seat that a Republican would have an advantage in. You could see where all this is going. It's not to a good place, and yet the logic is so persistent that you know, in a sense, you can't blame these governors for at least considering doing this. But what happens? Where is this all going? It's just deepening our divisions. It's deepening our all these divides that we have. It's fueling anger and rancor, and I'm afraid, you know, contributing to this kind of climate of, you know, just this sort of like violence is just crackling beneath the surface and erupting in America, you know, just all the time. And so, it's kind of it's a dark path that we're walking. And you know, I just think that all of us, it's incumbent to try to think about some off ramps here.
The book "How Democracies Die," by Daniel Zeblot and Stephen Levinsky. I've talked to them, interviewed them, and they talk about this path. You know, this was years ago that I interviewed them when that book came out, and they're saying, you know, you get this hardening of partisanship and this bad faith politics, and that's where we are right now.
That's right. And I think this is a smaller point to make, but I think it illustrates the bad faith aspect. Trump has been, you know, to his credit almost, I mean, he's very clear. He's like, I don't want any accountability. I want to maintain my power. I want to keep the House of Representatives, keep Congress on my side. So go find me five seats, right? It's about power, the maintenance of his own power. But his Department of Justice had to come up with some legal pretext to carry out or to ask for this redistricting. And so they sent a letter to Texas and said, you have four congressional districts that are unconstitutionally gerrymandered and in violation of the Voting Rights Act. But the problem is it makes no sense factually or legally or politically, because the maps that they're referring to, the districts that they're talking about, were drawn by the Texas legislature in 2021. The Texas legislature, the Republicans of the Texas legislature, said they drew those maps without regard to race at all. They're race neutral maps. And yet Abbott, for example, in ordering this special session or putting redistricting on the special session, is saying that they the maps need to be redrawn. This gerrymander needs to happen because of this this racial aspect to these maps. So you can see.
But they totally have thrown that away, that fig leaf. I mean, Abbott's talking about if they don't come back, it's going to be six seats. And if they don't come back, it's going to be seven seats. Clearly, they're talking about this not in those constitutional fairness terms, but in terms of pure power. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll continue discussing what's happening with this redistricting and the quorum break with Forrest Wilder when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm joined by Forrest Wilder. He is a senior staff writer at Texas Monthly, where he covers politics and the environment. We're talking about the redistricting maps that have that's stalled in Austin as Democratic lawmakers have fled the state in order to withhold a quorum to keep them from voting on those maps, and what is happening across the country, what is happening to representation in Texas. The number is 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK, if you want to join the conversation. Forrest, let me throw this at you. It seemed like if we want to change politics in Texas, shouldn't everyone just start voting in the Republican primary? It used to be way back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, everyone voted in a Democratic primary because the Republican primary party wasn't that strong in the state of Texas. If everyone just voted in the Republican primary, it's an open primary, then we'd be able to move it away from these extreme people who seem to win these contests. Only a small percentage of even Republicans vote in the Republican primary. That's how we end up where we are.
That's right. Well, I think the Texas Republican Party understands that there is a marginal threat to electing the more, let's say, radical candidates through their primary process. And that's why the party is moving to close the primaries. You know, I think the Dade Phelan election victory from their perspective was an example of why, you know, Democrats or independents or basically just non-hardcore Republicans should be, you know, blocked from participating in the primary. Texas has an open primary process as of right now, which means anyone can go vote in the Republican or the Democratic primary. So they want to change that. And I think that's just, it's part of the kind of like radicalization and purification process within the Republican Party. The more extreme elements have taken over the party apparatus, and they are working very diligently, and I would say somewhat successfully, to try to create a culture and systems and protocols that to force, the election and of the more extreme Republicans, and then keeping them in line with the Texas Republican Party platform and its priorities. Theoretically, yes, you're right. People could participate, or hardcore Republicans could participate in the Republican primary process. But, it's like the old Jim Hightower quote, which is if God had meant us to vote, he would have given us candidates, right? So you're still stuck with, with the folks who are on the ballot, and you're still going to be voting with or against the hardcore grassroots base of the Republican Party, which is, let's be honest, that they are pretty numerous. Even if they don't represent a majority, they're organized, they're disciplined, and they turn out.
But the general election is supposed to be the acid test for when a party has gone too far to the extreme. And we just haven't seen that in the last 30 years in Texas.
No, and I think there's this old concept in economic theory and political science of the countervailing forces. We just have very few countervailing forces in Texas to counteract the Republican Party. I mean, labor unions are weak. Civic organizations are often weak outside of, pretty conservative churches and that sort of thing. And the Democratic Party is weak, and its brand is weak. I mean, I think that's really, that has to be solved for there to be a viable challenge to Republican power in this state. It's above my pay grade. I'm not prescribing anything, but I would just say in general, Democrats have a branding problem nationally right now, but I would say it's more acute in Texas. A lot of people very well may be frustrated with Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick and Ted Cruz and all the rest of them. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to vote for the alternative. I think that's the kind of the dilemma, the catch-22 that has to be solved to kind of have some kind of opposition that's robust in this state, because without that, nothing's going to change. Or if it's going to change, it's going to change in the direction of increasing extremism.
Well, we see the Republican Party of Texas pushing issues, passing things that polling tells us are unpopular with Texans, including the school vouchers, the THC ban. But when election season rolls around, they trot out those commercials where saying Democrats want boys going into girls' bathrooms, and they win with that. This is the pattern of Texas, and without stronger candidates, a stronger organization, better funded Democratic Party, it just seems this is going to be the way it is moving forward, and then this redistricting map seems to be the logical conclusion. Is like, well, why even have Democrats at all? Let's just redistrict them out of existence. That's kind of seems to be the trend.
That seems to be a trend. I will say one thing about these maps. The maps that are on the table in the legislature right now, if you look at them, there is the potential for them to be, what's the term of art's dummymander. Is it a gerrymander, dummymander? They're really, the maps for several of these seats are really predicated or based on a bet. And that bet is that Latinos or Hispanics in Texas, particularly in South Texas, are going to stay in the MAGA camp, maybe even move even more into the MAGA camp. That essentially what we've seen over the last few election cycles in places like the Rio Grande Valley or Laredo, Del Rio, and to a lesser extent, even Hispanics in some of the urban areas, is a political realignment, a paradigm shift of historical significance. If that proves not to be the case, and that the support for Trump, the kind of MAGA culture within those communities is softer than Trump and the Republicans think, then they could be shooting themselves in the foot, right? They could lose some of these seats, and then that would spoil their plans, right? The plan is to change the map so they can hold on to the U.S. House of Representatives and give Trump 2 years without accountability. But you still have to run an election. And one thing we know in politics is that it's always changing and it's very hard to predict. Other thing I would say is that historically speaking, Hispanic folks in Texas and really across the country are less ideologically or fixated, less fixed on a particular ideology of left or right, liberal, conservative, or Democrat and Republican, and are, you know, up, you know, in many cases have been up for grabs. And that's why you see this oscillation where George W. Bush does really well with Latinos, and then Obama does really well, and then Trump, oh my God, has just completely changed the equation. I'd say the gains that Trump made were astonishing, but that doesn't mean that they're fixed forever, and that without Trump on the ballot in 2026, for example, or presumably not on the ballot in 2028 with the right candidate on the Democratic side, that things couldn't be pushed back a little bit towards the other side.
But look at the Democratic lawmakers who have not joined the quorum. And you have this in the Texas Monthly. You looked at this and said most of them are from South Texas, Latino representing districts. We have one in San Antonio, Phil Cortez, a local Democrat state representative. He has not joined the quorum bus. He left for a little while. He went to Boston and then he came right back and he is showing up for the roll call. So, I mean, do you think these Democratic lawmakers in South Texas who are not joining a quorum, they are responding to what they see as the local trend that their voters don't care about this?
I'm going to take them at their word from the ones I've talked to, is that they don't believe that the quorum break is going to be effective. And so they want to stay in Austin and try to get things done. I mean, that's what they're saying. And
well, there's nothing to get done.
Well, right. But they think that, well, there's hearings and there's bills that are being considered. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There's not a lot happening. They just assumed the quorum break will not work. And so they'll be they're already at work. And I think the other thing that they'll say is like, our constituents are different than the constituents in San Antonio or Austin or Dallas or Houston or the other Democratic strongholds around the state. Our people are more conservative and they're less fixated on partisanship. Now, I will add, you can't help but notice that most of these eight members represent districts that Trump won. And so essentially they're still in office because of ticket splitting. There are a lot of people in places like, I don't know, let's say Eagle Pass or Del Rio, Laredo, down the valley, who voted for Trump and then went down the ballot and voted for their state rep or voted for their congressman. Like Henry Cuellar is only still in office because there was quite a bit of ticket splitting in his district, Laredo up to San Antonio. You can read into that what you will. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that they are probably their politicians and they're trying to like read the political winds. Politicians tend to be better than that at the average person, but they also get things wrong all the time. Also, politicians tend to take the path of least resistance. I would assume that some of them made the calculus that it's less risky for them to stay at home and let these others, run the quorum break.
Well, maybe their constituents colleagues should get on the phone and tell them exactly what they want. People should call Phil Cortez or these other Democrats who are not part of the quorum break, that they're proud of them. Thank you for not going on the quorum break, or they're not proud of them and they want them to join the quorum break. That'd be something interesting to see. Forrest Wilder, senior writer at the Texas Monthly, covers politics. And thanks for jumping on the air with us today, Forrest.
Yeah, it was great to be here.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.